Welcome to iHeart Geek.
And welcome to another episode of iHeart Geek.
Dubstep.
Womp, 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 womp.
Jason loves dubstep.
It was better the second time.
This will be an improv-y type show because we have a lot less script than usual.
Yeah.
We had a good reason because we want to talk about the future of geek. And in that, there are no top five lists. There are no quiz shows.
Game shows?
There are no game shows. There's just what is the future of iHeart Geek. So everything is speculation today. Do not take anything we say today as fact. We have zero insider information. None.
Unless it comes true, and then you heard it here first.
We want all the 100% of the credit and the royalties that go along with it.
Exactly.
Wow. It has been a while since we've had this group on.
Nice. Yeah, I know. Who are you guys?
So I'm Dub, and I'm your producer and sometimes writer. Mm-hmm. And below me, we have Miss Geeky Paige. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm getting my coffee in me, so I'm a lot less cranky than I was at the beginning of the call. So you're welcome, listeners.
Well, that you haven't been on the call very long, so I don't want to know.
I was pretty cranky.
That's a quick moving coffee.
Well, I'm naturally a happy kind of person, so my cranky isn't like terrifying cranky anyways.
Are you a shiny person as well?
I like to think I'm like terrifying, but
we determined a long time ago that you think you're terrifying, but you're a little fluffy bunny.
Yeah, my best friend says the same thing. She's like, you think you look like Godzilla when you're angry, but you look like a little fluffy duck stomping her feet. Mm-hmm. So there's how that goes.
Wow. Nothing like callbacks. This show is going to be nothing but callbacks. I have spoken.
Nothing but net.
Oh, okay. And
so that means I got to start talking about crack smoking?
No, those days are dead.
Oh, okay. All right.
Whoa.
And sitting next to Courtney, we have Mr. Blies. How are you doing, bud? How's babies?
What's up? Baby's doing good. He is with his mom right now in the other room. But we're all good here.
Yeah. Super cute little redhead thing going on. Cute kid. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
His hair is the same color as my beard.
Yes, it is. He looks like your wife more in the face with your color hair. It's pretty awesome.
Lucky.
Like that. Oh, nah. He didn't get all this.
No, he looks a little like you too. He's got you as well, but he's got a little more stronger her cute. Right now.
More terror.
But no, something I've learned, babies change who they look like by the day for the first year. And then, your kids get stuck with him after a while.
She looked at me today, Teradin. She's like, he's getting a personality and I don't like it.
That must mean it's yours. He already hates the Breakfast Club. That's amazing how that works.
Yeah,
all because John Hughes.
Goonies, did he wake up this morning and go, I hate the Goonies?
Yep, he did. First
thing, before I want breakfast, I hate the Goonies.
I said, that's my boy.
Sloss is stupid.
possibly a creative franchise that you ought to get on the trademark for there, Blies and Curmudgeon Baby.
That's a good one.
Oh, wow. We could market that.
Exactly.
Copyright.
I like it. Let's make a shirt out of it.
And finally, we have our visitor from California, Mr. PBN Jason. How you been, bud? Where you been?
What was it? It was you guys recorded a couple of shows while I was in California. Yeah, I went to a family vacation to the place I've been going since I was six. And it was just a great excuse to get away from the world of craziness that we exist in. And yeah, it was nice. Get some fresh air, some beauty, some aesthetics, soul cleansing. It was very nice. It was good to get away. And my kids really needed it too. They needed to get out of the house. They needed to ride their bikes around in a place that wasn't 150,000 degrees as though they were driving through hot lava, constantly. It was good. So yes, I was gone and you guys did some great shows while I was gone.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
And I was a little annoyed that I missed Mythology, but that's all right. I'll catch the next one.
We always come back to do every topic again.
We'll do a Mythology 2 Jason's Boogaloo.
That'll work. Yes, exactly.
So, assuming you remember that in a year, let us know. We will do it.
I will never forget that.
We never remember.
It's imprinted.
We have like 7 million shows that we're supposed to do, and we're like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Okay, so before we start, we have new and exciting stuff going on as far as our support of the show stuff. Blythe, this is going to be on you. We have we're going to really be pushing this in, I think, 2 weeks. That's 2 episodes through. Yeah, 2 weeks. We're going to really start pushing this new thing. But we can do the new thing as well as the old thing. Blythe, you want to catch us up on everything, bud?
Yeah, for sure. So we have our old channels of show support, which is the Redbubble page, where you have 64 plus items to choose from. Anything from cups to
shower curtains,
duvets, all sorts of that, with the HAL logo. The HAL logo with the website. Sorry, yeah. Guys. HAL logo with the website, and then the Keep On Geeking On banner as well. So you can find all those at redbubble.com. Just search iHeartGeek, or if you look in the show notes or the description below, if you're on YouTube, that link is there as well. We also have the Amazon affiliate link. So same thing, if it's in the comments below, or sorry, in the description below or in the show notes, just go ahead and click on that link. Do your normal Amazon purchasing, as I know we all are still purchasing heavily.
Everything is on Amazon. Right, we should be making like $12 for the show right now.
But yeah, if you just click that link to your normal Amazon purchasing, then a little bit of that gets kicked back to the show and everything goes back into the show. And then the last thing that I have to talk about today is brand new for all of our listeners. If you would like to support our show in the best possible way, we have our Patreon finally set up. The first iHeartGeek Patreon is set up and it's ready to go. We have different levels, tier levels in there. So if you'd like to just support the show without any kind of attachment or anything like that, it's just $3. And then the next tier up is $5, where we will display your beautiful names, because we love you so much, on the screen here as we go through the video.
If there was someone that did it, this would be the point. It would go right across the screen.
It would go right across the screen. We'll probably put something on the end credits as well for you guys, because we love you so much. The $10 tier is you become a part of the show by giving your suggestions. So if you ever have a topic that you guys want to hear us talk about and you're like, man, I really want to hear the iHeartGeek cast dive into this certain geekdom or situation, then we will throw your suggestions into that rotation of shows that we've got going on.
And even if it's like, donuts.
Even if it's donuts.
But we still do have our family-friendly rules and all that. So if somebody, I know, whatever just popped into everybody's mind, that's one of the ones you can't do.
Well, donuts are not offensive.
Donuts are definitely not offensive.
However. Donuts are not offensive. I would love to do a show on donuts.
I would too, actually.
And then the last but not least tier is the $20 tier. And that is where you become an honorary iHeartGeek cast member and you become part of the show. So we will have you on to talk all things geek, nerd, and everything in between. So you will become part of that rotational cast because you are such an amazing rock star and we know that you love the show just as much as we do.
And if you happen to love donuts, bonus.
I will send you a box of donuts if you sign up for that fourth
year. Oh, very nice.
Oh, wow. I will send you one from Krispy Kreme.
So those are our three support contact points. They will all be in the description below, in the show notes, wherever you can find information on us. Those links will be there for you. So let us know if you guys have any questions, and we appreciate every single one of you.
And the website, this close to being fixed. This close. So close.
Give me a couple more weeks, kids.
We're almost there, and we're so happy.
Can we Can we please submit some new photos to the website?
No, old photos are old.
In fact, we're going to go back to our senior photos.
I do not want my squished hamburger head in this new website.
So cute in my high school photos.
Okay, so we're going to, since we don't really have segments, we're going to do our one segment today, and we're going to start it off with our listener feedback.
And now, let's see what all of our geek rock stars have to say.
Okay, so for today's listener feedback, we asked, what do you guys think is next in the geek world? Because this is all we're going to really be talking about today. So, Courtney, what do you got for us?
We got a lot, sir. So I'm going to read these out. And if I miss somebody, sorry. That's all you get from me.
Wow.
Jeez.
Sorry.
So savage. No,
join our Patreon. Join our Patreon. But if we miss you, sorry.
Courtney, can you do me a favor? Take another drink of coffee real quick.
Okay. Am I a crank ball? Okay, hold on. Hold, please.
Okay.
Still not sorry if I missed you. Anyways.
Oh, wow. I'm going to buy you a red book.
We thank you all for the fabulous comments, and now I'm going to read them. So, Lon McPherson said sci-fi will become even bigger because of our need to escape current events, which I totally agree with, by the way. Isolation from our fellows of the arts in all of its forms leads to separation, desperation, and depression. A slow death of mind, body, and spirit. I very much like that answer. So, Jenny McGee, we're going to say the multiverse, but I'm going to add you on to our good friend Skeeter Thompson because he also mentioned the multiverse. And he thinks it's a real possibility because we're going to start to get more and more creative spins on flashpoints and post-apocalyptic multiverses. And I think that is actually correct. So,
Woody, and this makes me happy, the thought of this.
Yeah. It's very, very cool. So, TC, or...
The voice of the show.
Says a move back toward gothic naturalism. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Gothic naturalism. Wow.
Move back to gothic supernaturalism. Sorry, I was so enthralled with Dubs that I missed the super part. He says
I want gothic naturalism. That sounds cool.
It might be interesting. He said specifically speaking toward the facets of movie making, he would like to see. He would basically like to see Hollywood use the advancements in CGI and photography and all of the special effects that they have on hand to give us something very, very cool as opposed to what we've been seeing thus far.
So in other words, this is just to make somebody on the show happy. So what he's saying is they need to do Lovecraftian type things. Is that what he's saying on that?
That'd be awesome.
Special effects? You're welcome, sure. Jason.
Yes, okay. That'd be awesome. Sure. Lovecraftian creatures with giant CGI potential, I'm on board.
I feel like this one is going to get Kimberly picked on, but Kimberly, I got your back, girl. Kimberly Romaine says, more remakes of classics. Right now, there are two War of the World retellings that are new, and at this point, there aren't that many original ideas floating around. I think the original ideas are there, I just think they're not considered cost effective at the moment, so that's why we're getting rehashed.
Now, to be fair, I don't think she's saying that's what she wants.
She's not saying remakes.
I think she's saying that that's just what we're gonna get.
I mean, but, it's true. Yeah. If you pull, there's a whole lot of literature that you could pull to the screen, and I would agree.
Yeah,
remaking literature, sure.
We got you, Kimberly.
Except all for the Goonies, because that's perfect.
No, all that stuff you guys love, it's all garbage. Just reboot all of it. Goonies, all that Breakfast Club nonsense. Just reboot all of it.
Hey, can the quarantine just end so that maybe he gets some sunlight and
looks less like a vampire?
Don't eat it.
You are whiter than me right now.
Ginger Edward Cullen.
Well, he's he's in his cave holding the ring, my precious.
His kid. Oh yeah.
Yeah, his kid, my precious.
I can work with that. Okay, Agent Mattinson says D&D seems to be on the rise, more mm-hmm. Game of Thrones style for a while. I agree, because we're seeing a lot of, because people are stuck at home a lot, so they're D&Ding, so good answer. Christina Bellin says a lot of post-apocalyptic after year we had. It wouldn't surprise me if there was a stream of movies like this and government's conspiracies that are sci-fi based, because, you know, chips in your brains and stuff like that. But if they're handing out chips, she'd rather have Cheetos.
Oh,
agreed.
Agreed. Our good friend and frequent visitor, Mr. Tomy, says, with things so dark and difficult lately, I think the goofy, campy dial is about to get turned up to 11.
I
this
hope.
One goes to 11.
And by the way, I have to say, the couple times that she's been on the show, she's been awesome. I just
we
have to say.
Love
as an observer,
Tomy.
As an observer who has yet to actually speak to her in person, I'm looking forward to that. Watching her, she's, she was great.
We love our Mr. Tomy, that's sure. Dino from the
podcast.
Don't pull me. See, didn't throw me off this time.
Yeah,
everything
baby.
Seems to be cyclical in geekdom. I think we're due for a return to late 70s, early 80s post-apocalyptic geekness. And then,
you know what? I want. Can we discuss that just for a second?
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't know if he's talking about the cheesiness of the stories of the 70s or 80s, or the homemade type feel of this of the early 70s, especially with like the horror. And I'm hoping we go more to that, because people are stuck and there's no movies that are going to be coming out for at least a year after this. Hopefully people are going to be making the homemade, cheesy, at-home movies. Blair Witch can happen again.
Well, and you can do a lot with these fancy new phones. Like, there are people making films on phones left and right. So,
oh, it's better than what they had for Gone with the Wind, I'm just saying.
Yeah, so I mean, totally, I could see that happen.
Totally.
Yeah. I think if you see even some of these like mainstream directors, they do their little side pieces on like YouTube and stuff like that, and they're mm-hmm. super low budget, but they're amazing. There's like a gritty Power Rangers like 20-minute movie that I forget what the director's name was, but he made it and just basically called in favors from different actors and stuff like that. And they all came and they stepped in and they did this awesome, just like 20-minute video. And it's some things are just great that they,
did you guys see the Gambit one that was put out there recently?
No.
I'm not a big fan of Gambit, but I really dug this. This was, it's actually, someone posted it, I think, to our page. So if you guys look around, it's like a 25-minute Gambit movie with some people that I recognize.
Nice.
It was really well done. So yes.
Thanks.
And you know, then there's the Darth Vader one. You guys have seen the Darth Vader story.
Yes, I have seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, those are awesome too.
They did one for Punisher a while back.
That's easy. There are no special effects except for
they used what's his face? From
the new guy?
No, it was the guy from like the first, not
oh,
the
Dolph
first,
Lundgren?
First, not Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren, Thomas Jane.
And, I think it's Thomas Jane.
Yeah.
It's called Dirty Laundry. It's like a 10-minute like end clip for the movie, since they moved away from him when they remade the other one with, I forget who it was now.
And because,
I've got no names, actors.
Because you get to mention on every episode, you mentioned Thomas Jane. Thomas Jane appeared in Scott Pilgrim versus the World in an uncredited role.
Oh my
I had
God.
To throw in.
Who cares? Scott Pilgrim. Throw that whole franchise in the bin. Throw it in the bin.
Stop.
Here it is.
Stop it.
See this? I'm crumbling up. In the
bin.
He
was the vegan police.
He was the vegan police.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. Sorry, just had to throw that in. Okay, well, let's get back to our listener feedback.
We only have one more. So. Oh.
Wow, anticlimactic.
Right. So Tyler Romaine says, unoriginal reboots, virtual reality worlds you could almost live in, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria, just chaos in the world of fandom.
Nothing is anticlimactic with Tyler Romaine.
I don't think that's correct. And I'll tell you why. I think that people, the amateur filmmakers are going to make a lot of the doom and gloom and what's going on in the world. I think anybody that wants to make money and is smart about it is going to get as far away from doom and gloom and everything that's going on as possible because people want an escape. I think people are learning that.
Yeah.
That I think so. Beg to differ with your opinion, but I really don't. Everyone's talking about, you know, we're gonna have all these post-apocalyptic movies. I think when things are going good, not that's when you want post-apocalyptic. Because you want something different from what's going on. You don't want to think. You don't. Yes, you can give people things to think about, but you don't want to give people too much to think about. Like we were talking about last episode, you can't throw everything at somebody all at once. It's got to be a slow build.
Yeah.
People want to escape. That's why you have to have that escape.
Well, and like I think of the movie Contagion. Mm-hmm. Nobody watching Contagion right now.
No.
It's a good movie. It's just, hi, real world, how are you doing today?
I mean, that's the thing.
Nobody's watching. You can argue with me all you want.
Top 10 on Netflix when all this started.
So was The Help.
Run some statistics. The Help's a great movie.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. It's like what people are... I mean, people are going to watch... They're going to gravitate towards something that... I mean, there are going to be people who are going to watch doom and gloom stuff. That's just inevitable. But you're also going to get people who are going to gravitate toward something that makes them laugh. Romantic. I've been watching a lot of romantic comedies, and I usually hate romantic comedies.
That's me anyway, pandemic or no. I mean, I don't like doom and gloom.
Romantic comedies?
Yeah.
He likes romantic comedies. Yeah, I mean, I enjoy it, but I don't watch them a lot. It's just because sometimes I'm like, oh my God, these guys are so stupid. But, like, I've been watching a lot of those Hallmark romances lately because everything's fine in the town that they go set it in, and it's usually Christmas. So, I mean, it's like, yeah, when I sit down after a day of work, I'm like, I need something that's going to let me forget that everything is kind of gone to crap outside. So I'm not going to watch Contagion or Outbreak.
Yeah.
I haven't even had a desire to watch Infinity War or Endgame.
I get it.
I watched those just recently. I love those movies.
I love them, but I mean, I've watched Winter Soldier more times since I've been
that's definitely quarantined. Your kind of jam.
It's that Winter espionage Soldier stuff, yeah.
Yeah, he's reading Hot Zone, he's looking
really
for Stand miniseries, Blythe. He's looking for all that stuff.
Really,
yeah.
She's watching all the Hallmark stuff because she's just burnt through everything on Netflix at this point.
There's been a lot of burning through Netflix. I did enjoy the niece and auntie watch a movie together the other night.
Because
I can't go see them. I haven't seen them, like physically seen them in 5 months. So my oldest called me the other day, and she goes, Coco, do you have anything you have to do after work today when you're done working for the day? I said, no. She goes, can we watch a movie together? I'm like, okay, how are we going to do that? So we got Hangouts.
Yep.
And we turned on Frozen 2 at exactly the same time. I don't even care what I'm watching. I get to watch with her. So whatever she wants to watch, we'll watch.
Awesome.
So we turned Hangouts on, and we watched Frozen 2 together, and it was great.
That's awesome.
That's very cool.
Yep. Well, those are the kinds of things you got to do.
That leads me to one of the things that I think is next, and this one has a lot to do with Blythe, is the VR stuff. You can actually, if you both have the VR headset, the Oculus, you can get together and watch a movie with the person in like the same theater. You have the avatar of them. You can sit and talk to the avatar, and you look up, and you're watching the movie on a big, big 1,000-inch screen. There's something that's amazing about that I think would help people from going so insane right now, is you have a little bit of that togetherness. I mean, it's not the physical. Nothing will ever change that. But I think that that's a really good step. What are your thoughts? Do you think the VR is the thing of the future? Do you think it seems like people kind of forgot about it?
So for me, it definitely is. I think that with the Oculus Quest, I mean, you've played with it, Dub. It's just, it's one of those things where it really has the potential, and it did, and it still is. It still is selling out whenever it comes into stock in most stores. But it's really hitting the mainstream because it has that console price. It doesn't cost as much as a $2,000 computer rig that you normally need to use for VR. And the applications that they're creating for it are outstanding as far as socializing with people. So you have, like what you just described, you have the movie theater app where you can go and you can watch a movie or a TV show, and then whoever can join your room with you, and it could be a group of people, and you can either mute everyone or you can keep it all open so you guys can talk and discuss things as you normally would. Or you even have things like that are really getting close to Ready Player One, where you make an avatar and you go into this world and you're just an avatar of your favorite comic book character, and you go in and you socialize with all different people, and they have different worlds that fit the genre or whatever you're wanting to do. And it's just kind of mixing the realities together and making it more of a social environment for people, which is
That is still so on my shopping list radar, the Quest.
Yeah.
And you know, Blize, we talked about that a few months ago, that I was asking you some questions about it and stuff. It's fascinating me so much that I just haven't taken the dive yet, but I'm getting close.
When we get enough people, I would like to actually do live shows on the Quest.
That'd be cool.
But I just, not enough people have it. So, it's kind of like Betamax versus VHS. I'm going real old school. Beta was the better format by every metric. More people had VHS, so Beta died. Mm-hmm. That's my worry with the VR. It doesn't seem like it's catching on like it should because people have their phone.
Yeah, so it's the community, right? So the community is the ones that have it. Like, this big community of people who love VR, those are the people that own it because it is a cost-effective way of doing it. I know that Facebook, because they own Oculus, and I believe HTC, who makes the Vive, are developing every time they have a conference, they're introducing smaller and smaller headsets. So I think you'll hit more of a mainstream when they feel more like a pair of goggles as opposed to like the brick on the front.
Well, it hurts your neck after a while, to be fair.
Yeah.
Which they have different ways of like counterweights and stuff like that you could set up so it's not as strenuous. But I think once you have the smaller, like I said, that looks more like goggles that you can just have out, I think that's when you're going to hit the mainstream the hardest, is when you put that with like a price point of like $200-$300, and then you get the same kind of quality that you would from a gaming rig. Because then there's no one's going to have an excuse as to not to do it.
Yeah. Right.
I think I don't know if the newer one. What did you call it? The Oculus what?
Oculus Quest.
I remember the Oculus Rift came out. And it was really big in the Second Life community because everybody was like, well, now we can do this. We can actually embody our avatars. Mm-hmm. And there was a big push for Second Life users to get one when they were finally affordable, but then it just kind of died off and nobody really invested in getting the Rift for that reason.
That is the problem. I think they might have released it too soon before we're going to get wave on wave on wave on wave. Let's get up to, you know, the sixth one that we should have had, and then you start. And because you've had people bought the first one, they're not going to want to do it anymore because it sucks in comparison. And oh no, it's just a money grab. And that's
partially why I'm waiting too. I'm kind of waiting for the Oculus Rift or Quest version, whatever. What are they? What version are they on now?
So the first one is out. There actually has been leaks of a second one. Like I said, from the looks, they've slimmed it down. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's lighter. There's also lots of technologies that are catching up to it. So there's different companies that are making actual like haptic body suits and treadmills. I just saw a company do a full VR treadmill for like $600, which is super affordable if you're like super into it. But basically you hook it up to your VR headset in like a game like Skyrim. When you move around the world, you're physically moving. So you're physically walking and moving your feet to walk around the world of Skyrim. So it's things like that that I think are also going to help catch up. So like if you could get an Oculus Quest with a vest that allowed you to, like if you're playing a shooter, it allows you to just like feel hits on your...
Yeah.
Oh, and then gloves that allow you to actually grab, and then some sort of like walking apparatus where you could, like, if you put that on the market, people are going to pick that up because it's a fully immersive experience.
Do they have Elder Scrolls Online on the Oculus?
I don't think Elder Scrolls Online. I think just Skyrim.
Just Skyrim at this point?
Yeah, just Skyrim. But I've seen it and it's great. And games, even simple games like Minecraft. You've seen some of the gameplay trailers of Minecraft on it. It's fantastic. You just, any of those open world games are just so
totally meant for that.
Yes.
That's so why No Man's Sky.
I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that game, but
which one? Which game?
No Man's Sky. It's a full space exploration game where the universe, they create an algorithm that just makes planets. So the universe is constantly expanding. There's no limit to how far you can go out into the universe and find these different planets. And they just put that into VR. So like experiences like that is just going to make the whole thing worthwhile. And I think you're right, Dub. I think it's when we get to version maybe 4 or 5 where it's it just keeps getting better and better.
The quality, because the marketing has been crap on it too.
Yeah, so I think once we get there, we'll see it hit the mainstream even more. But like I said, if you follow it around the community, like it's still huge. Like they've sold so many units in the last year, however long it's been out.
That's why it was so big when we heard about it in the SL community, because everybody in Second Life said, well, we could walk around in our avatars, and there's all the role play that happens inside of Second Life. We're like, oh, we can actually fully embody it. I don't think I know anybody in my circle of Second Life gaming buddies who have an Oculus.
Yeah.
We all wanted one when they announced it, but it's we all got one.
There's got to be some kind of push that they make it so that you have to have it. And that's the only thing I think that's going to stay. I want it to happen because I think it's a fantastic technology.
It would be really cool to game in it.
But I think that we're gonna have to wait until they make something that you have to have with it. Yep. You know, like Xbox would have died if they didn't have Halo to start with, because they had that one can't miss thing, and that's what Oculus or whatever takes the helm needs is that one cannot miss.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to another thing as far as the future goes. Let's talk about comic books. Where's it going? I have a very bleak is anybody not bleak on comic books? Because whoever's not bleak gets to go last, whoever's happy about what's gonna happen.
I got like a 50-50 take.
Okay, I'll let you go last then. I think that right now the comic industry could have saved itself with this quarantine and all that, and as all they did is virtue signal each other and go after each other on every political thing. And this is the big ones, the small ones. There's nothing but hatred online. This is the time that they should be able to build comic books and get away from all of that. And no, they're eating themselves. And yes, we have a million new technologies, but I don't see the comic book industry other than maybe a strictly graphic novel line lasting another decade. And that's being very, very...
Yeah.
And I'm going to say,
may I pipe in?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I've thought about this for a while, for quite a while, actually. Like, one of the problems with the comic books was that, you know, there have been so many reboots, relaunches, reintroductions, with the same old characters. Now take indie stuff and interesting stuff that does exist. I know that. Put that aside. I'm talking about mainstream superhero comics. Okay. I've said for a long time that what really needed to happen was they really needed to let a lot of these original characters either die or pass the torch and be brave enough, because there has been some torch passing, but be brave enough to pass the torch and stick with it through the fan negative reaction that you're going to get, you know, at the beginning, and make the characters work. And a perfect example would be the African-American Nick Fury. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When he's the Nick Fury that everybody thinks of now, not the original one that had the Reed Richards, you know, hair color thing going on and was white. But the reason that that one worked is because they stuck with it. They stuck with it through, I mean, they did it right. They introduced it in the Ultimate Universe. So it wasn't like they replaced the original. They did a reimagining of him, but they stuck with him. And through perseverance, it caught on. But with a lot of the things that they tried to do, like Sam Wilson as Captain America and things like that, it's like they just gave up the ghost too quickly. And some of it was pretty crappy writing, too.
Writing's been bad.
But when you continually, like, you keep, you know, DC, of course, is terrible at, that's, you know, the what did they do? They did Rebirth, and then before the what was the one that they did?
They did Crisis.
52.
And then they did Blackest Night.
Crisis long before that. And it's like, for me, I haven't read issue comic books in ages. And if I were going to try to re-enter that world, I would be like, where do I even start? I mean, one, you got all these, you know, these young writers, and I don't know if I particularly dig their take on some of these classic heroes. That's one thing. And that could be just me being an old crotchety, you know, person. But also, like I said, it's like, let Miles Morales become Spider-Man. Let it happen. Peter Parker could still be in the picture as, like, you know, like Batman Beyond kind of thing. It could be that similar relationship.
A mentor.
Right. But I think that comics are just, they're too scared to evolve it properly. Again, superhero comics, too scared to evolve it properly. And it's just too convoluted.
Now, something that Marvel did, I don't know if you guys read it. I read it in graphic novel form. It's free on Comixology right now if you have the unlimited. The Life and Times of Spider-Man. And it literally starts him from the 60s and it puts him through every era up to now and passing the torch. And they had him gradually getting older in every decade. And it was, I think, the right way to finish off the character. Said, we're going to pass the torch. This is the whole history of him. So it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing, though, I mean, that's great, but it's a one shot. It's not. It's not the mainstream what actually happened, you know? Yeah. I mean, they do those all the time. They do
I think that's what...
Go ahead, Blaise.
I think that's what Dub is saying, though, is that that's what he wants to see as far as what you're saying, P. I completely agree, PB. I think that they need to... They did the same thing with Wolverine when they killed him, and then they brought X-23 to be the new Wolverine, and then he came back.
And it stopped selling, so...
Yeah, yeah. So it's just...
But they got to be patient through that. They have to be patient.
Mm-hmm. Stop taking the best characters. For instance, why did Nick Fury work? Because the original one was kind of a... I mean, he had some interesting moments. He was a crappy character, and they made him interesting. Yeah.
Well, it sucks. I think part of it too is a ramification of the industry just not doing that well. Because one of the things that I'm not particularly fond of with comic books nowadays is when they want to do all these crossovers and these big events and stuff like that. But then aside from this 10 book summer event that they have going on, they have 20 different side books for it, and like you're reading the main line and it's like, why is Spider-Man here? Oh, pick up Spider-Man 223 so that you dropped into this situation. And it's like, I don't want to have to buy every side storyline to just enjoy this one event. Just give me the
I like it, but I better love the event. There's only been two events that I've liked that much, and that would be Blackest Night and the Flashpoint.
Flashpoint.
Those were the only two in history, the only, you know, multi-book series that I've wanted to grab everything else. Otherwise, you need to have the main series. The other stuff is just,
yeah.
It honestly, would be a lot more simple. One, they need the courage. They need the courage to ride through that negative time. Then they could introduce all of the Torch past heroes. And, you know, you don't have to do it all in one shot. I mean, you stagger it. So it's not like, oh, my God, every one of my heroes is dead. But you stagger it. You could use some of them in mentor roles. It doesn't mean that they necessarily have to go away completely. And then you could always do one shots of classic stories to keep those characters in your mind. Mm-hmm. But you set those stories up as the Elseworlds one shots or the, you know, or the standalone. Here is a moment in Steve Rogers' history that we've never told before, you know, but treat it as something that was before, you know, and it's not, you know, again, if you want to make Sam Wilson Captain America, give him a chance. Give him a chance to be that character. You know, that's
well, how I look at it. Here's my controversial thing, and then I'm going to give it to Courtney because I think she's got something in here. I think that this controversial, I think that 25% of comics should be written for us, the older comic reader. 75% of comics need to go back to 75 cents to a dollar, and they need to be for kids 13 and younger. I think that's going to save the industry. Why do we love comics? It started when we were kids. Kids aren't reading adult stuff at that age, and they don't have the visceral connection. That's what will save comics. Sorry, I know that one sucks for a lot of people, but I think that's a fact. I think it should not be written for us.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that
25% is all we need.
Yeah, when you guys were first getting into comic books, the stories were a lot more simple. They didn't deal with, mm-hmm. yeah, they were cheap. They were not that they were simple, but they were just
surface.
They just were, yeah, exactly. And it wasn't as convoluted as
bright colors
stories need to be now. That
good guys, bad guys, that, yeah,
exactly. So I think, yeah, I think you got a point with that. I think you're right on the money.
I think that'll kind of naturally happen though when you have young writers.
It hasn't though. Mm-hmm.
Really? Young writers are trying to do the older stories?
But they haven't made them for kids. They're making them for us.
Okay. Yeah.
Can you think
No, I mean, I agree with you in theory, but I'm trying to think what for kids actually translates into.
Simplicity.
Not Dr. More complicated than Seuss, but simpler than anything out there on the market, to be honest.
The first comic books I ever read were the 80s She-Hulks, or Sensational She-Hulks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and read them now, the storylines are very simple. She has to battle a bad guy, and by the end of the book, she's done. She's mm-hmm. done. Now, there are occasionally, like Madcap, he might have a multi-book run. Or Sinestro was in a couple of them where you'd have to go. But I hesitate to say lighthearted, but with her books, they really were because,
right. I've read,
you know, she broke the fourth wall. I mean, she did all that stuff. And like, for me, that was my first introduction into comic book reading. I was like,
can I ask you two questions, Courtney?
Sure.
One, how old were you?
Nine.
You were nine. Okay.
That's what I just said.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that part. My apologies. And two, do you think those were written for kids or just written without a bunch of convoluted mess for anybody?
I think they were written for both. Because if you go back and read them now, there's stuff that you catch as an adult that you wouldn't have caught as a child. Mm-hmm. But it's not overt, here it is in your face, here's an adult theme.
Okay, in that regard,
there was that nice blending where you had the simplicity of the storylines that appealed to both adults and to children, but it was more geared toward kids.
Yeah.
Whether it be like 15 or below.
Yeah, I completely agree with you because some of the best like cartoons that became incredibly successful work on both those levels.
And that's kind of what comic books have to do. I feel about comic books, I'm like 50-50 on it. I feel about comic books the kind of way I feel about soap operas. My mom is she loves her soap operas. So she has one she watches, and she's been watching it for 1,000 years. Soap operas serve their purpose. They were created for a specific reason, mm-hmm. and they served that purpose. For a certain demographic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was created for the wives. We'll say men, because I know men who watch too, but they were created for the person who stayed home while the other person went out with the breadwinner, and they were created so that there was something for them to enjoy
mm-hmm.
while they were taking care of the house, or they were taking care of the kids, and they were doing all that stuff. It was that half an hour of escapism that they were allowed to get away from their world, and so it served its purpose. But when the workforce changed and both parents started going out into the workforce, they started to taper off. They were, before the pandemic happened, if you had asked me before lockdown happened, what I thought the future of soap operas were, I said they're going to all go away.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to cancel them by the end of the year. There are only like 3 or 4 left, and there used to be dozens.
You know who soap operas were also made for? They were made for 14-year-old kids who got the flu.
It's like people who are at home.
Who got hooked on Days of Our Lives and he had the flu.
Days of Our Lives is my mom's favorite. I know everything that happens with Days of Our Lives because when I was a kid, I used to watch it with her.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when I was sick from school or sick from work, I might flip it on.
Yeah, well, I started watching it when Bo Brady was on the motorcycle, riding to the wedding.
They started to taper off because they had served the purpose, because you don't have the same kind of home situation that you did.
Mm-hmm.
And before the pandemic, I would have said that we would have seen the death of all of them by the end of this year.
There's a resurgence.
Because people are stuck at home and we have mm-hmm. DVRs, so people are watching them now. So they're going back up again.
Yeah.
Whether they last much longer beyond that, I don't know. But they are, again, I think that's kind of what we're seeing with comic books too. Necessity has made them popular again, if that makes any sense. That sounds terrible because I read comic books. I'm not dogging comic mm-hmm. books. But before this all happened, comic book sales are down. They're really down.
Yep.
But now people need stuff to do. And it's really easy to get your book on your iPad or on your Kindle, on your Comixology units. They're going back up again.
Now, start concentrating on that, on the digital world.
Whether they'll survive the next 5-10 years, I don't know. But we have seen an uptake in people reading books now because we need stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't think the single issues will ever go away. I think we won't see the death of that format. I think what we will see, and this isn't just for comic books, this is for most things, I think we're going to see the death of paper literature. I think books themselves and comic books and things like that, just like you said, Courtney, it's very easy to get all that content onto an iPad or even your phone or anything like that. It's easy that you could have every single one of those things on that shelf in the palm of your hand.
Not all of them are available on eBay.
I'm saying
most of them are.
Could potentially, honest. If you started to transition.
Not of the research books, no.
Yeah,
but a specialized type of book.
Yeah, but if the necessity were that those things needed to be on.
Yeah.
On a tablet or something like that, it can be easily created. Those books can be transferred and put onto some sort of device. Well,
and what goes along with that, and again, more pandemic talk, but you can check out ebooks at the library. So when the libraries were shut down and people couldn't actually physically go in and get books, you just go on the website, you can check out ebooks.
Yeah,
go straight to your e-reader.
My wife is the collection development librarian for the city, and she tells me about how the ebook sales are, you know, becoming the bigger part of the market. So,
I don't think I have checked out a physical book from the library
mm-hmm.
in at least 2 years.
Yeah,
but I check out 20, 25 books every couple of months through the e-reader program.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
The ease of it is nice.
I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 20, 25 years, we just don't see much printed format anymore.
Which, you know, we'll get to this when we start talking music. Oh, by the way, making an executive decision now, this episode will now be two shows because we're not even cracked the surface on what we're talking about. And we're actually going to have to close this one out in just a sec so we can start the next one. But when we start talking music formats and all that, I think there will always be a market for that paper that holds it in your hands. You know, the special foil cover. And I think that that's where you're going to have to get it.
So one thing, Blythe, I know you're shaking your head, and you are correct that it will become the dominant, digital will become the dominant form. But you got a vinyl resurgence, man, that you've had for a long time. So it's never going to go away. There's going to be that select, almost cult crowd that are still going to want the books. And there are going to be people, because people love nostalgia, they're always going to be there.
Yeah.
Will they be there dominantly? No, they won't, but they will always be there.
See, and I think you view it as a big community, but I think that it's small enough to where whoever's producing these things, they may produce a limited number run of those certain things, but eventually it'll all just go away. Just like cassette tapes.
Okay. We're going to continue this next week. So, thanks everybody for listening and the listener feedback. This topic just turned too big for us, so we're going to have to split this up. Yeah, we're only on two. We're on our second point now of like 10. So thanks for listening to us blather a little bit. As always, check out all our links at the end of the show, because we have everything that you want to get a hold of us, except for the Patreon thing, and we'll should have that up next week. So, until next time, I'm Dub.
I'm Miss Geeky Page.
I'm Blythe.
I'm PB and Jason.
Keep on geeking on, kids.
You have been listening to the latest episode of the iHeart Geek Show. Make sure you visit our website at www.iheartgeekshow.com. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you check us out on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And keep on geeking on to all of you geek rock stars.